On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight we find out all about Long Bennington Junior Football Club. James Oldbury is in Sport HQ and alongside Dad, the ace right wing of the all-conquering Benno under-10s. Son Nathan's also with us. Not fast days, having a night off, but we've still got all the news from the Yeller Army. And we prove that we know and we can pick a star of the future. Live around the world, on the internet, on FM and DAB, this is the renowned Radio Newark Sport. And these are the headlines. Six Newark Castle archers attended the first round of the Foxes Archery Club's trio shoot. Ed Kovac came first in the Gents Burbo and Mandy Elson collected a third in the Ladies Burbo. Newark Athletic Club took 12 runners to Mansfield for round 3 of the Mini League. Best of the bunch, Riley Picker, finishing in third place in the under 11 boys. Joseph Monk in the under 13 boys and Ellie Monaghan Knight in the under 15 girls. Both had days to remember. Newark Tennis Ladies continue their winter success with a second convincing win as the first pair of Sue Tomlin and Annie Davis dominated with a 29-7 win. The men's first team were unlucky in their delayed final summer match, suffering the wrong end of many tie set breaks, the final score not doing justice. But again, it's not really summer, is it? Fernwood Sword Club's Ethan Dakin and Arthur Eakin were in action at the Leon Paul Junior Series in Bath over the weekend. Ethan in the under 11 met a foil, took a bronze, while Arthur, who is fencing as a year younger in the under 13 section, finished a very creditable 17th. Ed Howlett continued his good form with a 5th place finish in the Welsh Open. And one local football result of note, well, nearly local, a shock win for Staveley at Clay Cross in the Central Midlands. And why am I waffling on about that? Simple. Collingham await the winners in the next round of the Floodlit Cup, and they'll be rubbing their hands together. Away from Newark, Fulham have sacked their manager and replaced him with Claudio Ranieri, who guided Leicester to a Premiership title in 2016, before he got the push a few months later. And former England and Chelsea midfielder Joe Cole has retired at the age of 37. He came through West Ham's youth system and had spells at Liverpool, Lille, Aston Villa and Coventry City. And that's where we're going to start, Mr. Smith, with Joe Cole, an enigma, because when he broke onto the scene, he was going to be brilliant, but only in fits and starts, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, he may well have retired from football, but there's always a place for him in the team against USA for England, I would have thought.
Oh, bitter. Bitter.
I've just seen the screens at the end of the studio.
You really are turning into a bitter old man.
No, not at all, but I've just looked at the screens there. It says, Rooney to Captain England during farewell appearance.
We'll come back to that one, because our guest is not quite on the same wavelength as you on this one. He's got a different viewpoint to it.
Okay.
So, we'll have a debate about it.
I've just seen he's getting the armband. That's why I just wondered what Bobby Moore had to say about that.
That's okay. We'll have a debate about it later, and then I guess we'll win the discussion.
No, we'll have a debate about that. Then you'll turn my fader down, and I've got a chance.
Let's talk about Joe Cole.
Joe Cole.
Oh, hang on. I'll put the fader back on.
Okay. Joe Cole was one of those that promised a great deal. Like we've seen so often with people like anybody any football club could wish to name, you know. Jack Wilshere. You know.
He's earned a cracking living and he's never really fulfilled.
No, I mean, he's been around the place, but he just never, ever fulfilled his great potential, because he had a heck of a lot of potential, but unfortunately never lived up to it.
Okay, you get promoted. you spend an awful lot of money, you find yourself bottom of the Premier Division, you sack your manager, and replace him with Ranieri 1 hour later.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happened this morning at Fulham.
Well, I mean, the fact that they've appointed a manager so quickly is very good business by Fulham. You don't sack a manager and then go, right then, who's available? You put all the things into place and then you make your decision and announce it to the press and then you get on with it an hour later. So that's very good business.
Ranieri?
Yeah, I mean, he's a character. You know, he's achieved success before.
So are you, but what have you managed in Fulham?
No, but I mean, I'm sure Fulham wouldn't have me down Craven Cottage either, but it's just Ranieri just was involved in a miracle, but he's got a fairly good CV, and he's obviously, anybody is going to do a better job than the guy who was in there, you know, because he just...
So got them promotion?
He got them promotion, but then he spent £50 million very, very quickly. And you know, it's not the answer because, you know, you're doing it right before the start of the season. I think the last £30 million was spent on deadline day.
Well, they bought Mitrovic from Newcastle, and I think Newcastle's still quite pleased by that one.
Yeah.
Right, OK, let's move on, because I know you like a good story.
Mm.
The FA have suspended Women's Super League and non-league referee David McNamara after he made WSL captains play rock, paper, scissors as he forgot the coin as a toss of a recent game. The game, actually, was Manchester City against Reading on October the 26th. And they've actually suspended him for 3 weeks.
Mm.
For 3 weeks. A Premiership referee, Premier Division referee, makes the most appalling mess of it, and they give him a weekend off. So you play rock, paper, scissors to decide who kicks off. And you get a 3 week ban. Now, before you come back at me on that one, it turns out that in junior football, and here's where we say another good evening to our guest tonight, James. James, good evening. Welcome
evening.
To Radio Newark.
Thank you.
Before we start on Long Bennington, it's going to be almost everything tonight. We're talking about this in the Orange Room before we started.
We were.
And you said, well, what's unusual about that?
No, I think. For me, when I ref on a Saturday, that is how we work out who's going to kick off. The captains of the two sides come together, and rock, paper, scissors, stones is what settles who kicks off. And it probably stemmed from the fact that at one point I didn't have a coin to toss the coin to do it. So that's kind of stuck, and it works well for the kids. And I think the poor chap in the women's FA game, they probably need to have a look at themselves, really. Is it that?
Does it warrant a 3 week ban? Really?
Not at all.
You know, I mean, yes, he should be on everybody's spreadsheet when the next newsletters go out, you know, don't do what he did. But does it warrant that?
No, of course it doesn't. And but it's the powers that be in football have decided that they need to make an example, and I get it from a point of view that it's their flagship, it's the flagship league for women's football, and it should be done properly. But it was a one-off, wasn't it?
It's totally over.
The problem is that it's in the laws of the game.
So are a lot of things.
I know, and if you start breaking one law, you that's why the FA.
Okay. So how long a ban are those two standing behind the goal line at Manchester City last week that watched Raheem Sterling trip over the turf of grass,
I think it's very unfortunate that he's got a 3-match ban for it when you get the situation in Scotland where their premier referee is called Willie Collum, who makes cock-ups every week and gets cup finals instead of the 3-match ban.
Yeah, but they don't play proper football in Scotland, do they? I told you that
before.
They
try to. They're not very good, but they try to.
Do you know how to play rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Nathan, do you know how to play rock, paper, scissors?
Yes.
Right, let's have a game of rock, paper, scissors, because I haven't got a clue what we're talking about. Come on, then.
Quick, get
how do you play? This is brilliant radio, this is.
All right.
These two are playing rock, paper, scissors. They're thumping their hands against each other. Who won?
Me. Because paper wraps around a rock.
Oh, right. See, I don't understand. Do you understand that?
Yeah. I'm well versed in rock, paper, scissors.
I'm in a minority of one. Nathan, you can explain that one to me a little bit later. I haven't got a clue.
You've never heard of rock, paper, scissors?
I've heard of it, but I haven't got a clue what it had to do it.
God, they bring them up rough in Bolton.
I mean, my two grandchildren do as well. Have what you want, it's easier. Right, Long Bennington Junior Football Club. I took a trip out there the other Saturday to watch Bennington under-18s against Farndon under-18s. Top of the table clash in the Notts Youth League under-18s. And when I finally managed to park the car and walk from the other side of Long Bennington back to the ground, yep. Let's say it was popular, there was football going off on all sides of that field. In fact, the under-18 pitch I didn't even know was down there in that little dip. And I look around to myself and think, this club is massive. So let's me find out about it, Tony find out about it. James, is it a massive club?
It is a massive club, yes. And we're growing all the time. We have 15 teams currently, ranging from under sixes through to veterans football and walking football as well. And three girls teams and a ladies team included within the 15 that we currently have.
You play at the Newark end of the village, next to the little industrial estate on the wonderfully named Queen Elizabeth II playing fields.
Yes.
Fantastic. That's not always been there. Is the club older than that? Because as I recall, that was bequeathed or bequested by probably Jeff Fern, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah. That was given to the club in the 90s, I believe. And prior to that, they would have played at the old playing field, which is now a nature reserve down on Witham Road, I believe. And the club has been around in various guises and various forms over the years. Originally as Long Bennington Football Club, it disbanded at some point, reformed again to be known as the Royal Oak, one of the pubs in the village. That then changed back to Long Bennington Football Club, and then in the 90s, kind of youth football really started to take hold, the concept of Long Bennington Junior Football Club was really, really born, and that's where we kind of find ourselves through to today. We've actually dropped the junior section of the football club, so it is now just Long Bennington Football Club, because we have the veterans and the walking football and the ladies football as well, rather than just have it as junior football club. We're now Long Bennington.
I guess I read from 5 to 75. I thought they're
young, juniors. Young at heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, you're an FA Charter standard.
Yeah,
well.
FA Charter Community Standard club, which we achieved in 2013. So originally got Charter Standard Award in 2009, and now I've worked our way up to Community Standard Club, which is the highest accolade that we can get as a grassroots club. And in order to do that, we have to have certain things in place, qualified coaches and a standard that we work towards throughout all the age groups, from the under sixes all the way up to the walking footballers.
Of course, the end line on that one is that's going to help with grant aid and things like that, isn't it?
Yeah, we are, like all grassroots clubs, we are a self-funding club, so we rely heavily on external businesses helping us with sponsorship and also with applying for grants and funding that way. We're very fortunate that the pitches that you see that you saw the other week, we now have four pitches. So we have the 11-a-side pitch, a 5-a-side pitch, a 7-a-side and a 9-a-side pitch. We were able to get a £60,000 grant a few years ago through Sports England, which enabled us to completely redevelop the playing field area to get those four pitches in and to have the relevant drainage put in place. And it enables us to have pretty much football all year round because the drainage is ever so good down there.
Now, one of the teams that we're just going to have a quick chat about are the under-10s, and I'm led to believe that the under-10s are top of the table and having a good season. I'm going to get some WD-40 for you, Mr. Smith. I really am. And to talk about them, young man who's popped in tonight with his dad is the ace right wing of, I'm going to call it Benno under-10s, because
Benno's fine.
It's Benno, isn't it?
Yep.
It's Benno. Nathan, welcome to Radio Newark Sport.
Thank you.
right wing, you tell me, and you also told me their under 10s are top of the table, so you're having a cracking season so far.
Yeah, so first we played Saxelby and it was a good result, 2-2. And then last week we played Collingham. It was a really tough game, but we ended up winning 4-3, which was a good result.
A bit of a local derby against Collingham, wasn't it? It was. And did the ace right winger score a goal?
I did against Saxelby, but not against Collingham.
How long have you been playing football? I mean, you're only 10 now, so how long have you been playing football?
6 years.
6 years, so you're straight from the outset then. What school are you at?
Farndon St. Peter's.
Farndon St. Peter's. Are you a Bennington lad then, or...?
No, so our connection with Bennington is that I grew up in Bennington and my parents still live there, and I play for the Vets football team, and is often the way with the veteran footballers that as and when children decide they want to play football, the Vets tend to step into the breach, as it were, and take over a team and run with that, so...
If I'm working this one out right, then you actually live in Farndon.
Yes, I do.
Oh, that was fun then. What yep. did you beat them?
Yeah.
What? And was you allowed back into Farndon?
Yeah, we had to sneak in through the back way back into the village. But bragging rights for that derby, because I think it was a long time coming in Bennington getting one over on Farndon, because it's always a closely fought match between the certainly with that age group.
How's it? How do you get on with your friends who play football at Bennington, Nathan? Because I would suggest that you probably only see them at training and match day then, because most of them will be Bennington or Bennington area boys.
Actually, most of the players aren't from Long Bennington. Some of them are from Farndon, like me, and other of them are around villages all over Newark.
All right. It's
yeah, I think with our age group especially, we struggled actually to attract players from Long Bennington. So we've attracted players from outside of the area. But I think that's just purely our age group, that we haven't got a wealth of footballers at under 10 level in that actually go to school and live in Bennington. But predominantly, I think the rest of the club are from. Based either in Bennington or the surrounding villages, so Fossen or Claypole, that kind of area as well.
Which is your natural sort.
Yeah.
Of course, Bennington itself is growing into a
huge
village, isn't it?
Yeah, I moved there 20 odd years ago more than 20 odd years ago as a 16 year old, and it's unrecognisable now to what it was when I first moved there, and the facilities, not just for the football club but for the village, are fantastic. And as a football club, what we want to do is be able to kind of match the ambition that the village shows, and match that, and also sort of stand up toe to toe with our peers in terms of the other football clubs. Obviously Newark Town and RHP have got fantastic facilities now with the new sports complex in Newark. Flowserve have again got great facilities, as have Collingham, Bottisford as well, great facilities, and we want to be like them and be able to give the youth of Long Bennington and the young people of Long Bennington something that they can use and take forward and enjoy with football.
And there is a major connection between Long Bennington Football Club and Newark Flowserve.
There is, yeah. Tom Potts, who is captain, I think, at Flowserve, is originally a Bennington player, would have played for the Royal Oak at one point, and is involved with coaching in the club as well. So, yeah. Quite a good connection there.
So it's amazing. It's always a small world, isn't it? Always a connection. Right, coming up, no Not Fast Dave tonight, but he has sent a report in, and I'm going to tell you what that is in a moment. Okay, as I said, no Not Fast Dave tonight, but he tells me that lots of club members was out on a park run on Saturday. 51 in all at three different locations. Personal best for Jane Wayway, Lynn Gascoigne, Paula Downing and Janet Davis. And in the long distance walking event, Stuart Ashley took part in the Six Dales Challenge in the Peak District, starting and finishing at Biggin. It was a 26 mile route, of which he completed in nine hours. bit of a quiet week, both for Knotfast and Striders last week, but I don't think that is going to last long. Tony, I've got a story for you. Right, you'll like this. Now, you know how everybody's going on about Flowserve and what's happening at Flowserve. Down in Cornwall, right down in West Cornwall, there's a little village called Marzell.
I know it well.
You know it well. Hmm. Excellent. Well, 8 miles from the other side of Penzance, and they play in the Peninsula League Division 1 West, which is Step 7. And recently, they've appointed the former Torquay manager, Kevin Nicholson. And he was lured there by their wealthy chairman, Tim Richardson. And Tim Richardson is doing exactly the same at Marzell.
Really?
As what is happening at Flowserve. They want to go all the way through the leagues. In fact, it's got that much of a story. They want to, Penzance have approached him and want to know if they want to amalgamate. Because, of course, if you've been to Marzell, you will know the roads are about 2 foot wide. And you really cannot get people down there. The population in Marzell is 700. But even right down in Cornwall, in West Cornwall, the story is exactly the same as what's happening at Flowserve. Now, we know it can go wrong because, again, in Cornwall, it went wrong with Kevin Heaney at Truro City, who bankrolled them until it all went wrong. And they went up and up the floor, I think, about 7 promotions in 6 years or something stupid, until it went wrong. But the idea of Marzell, they want to go all the way to Step 1 football.
On a complete tangent, with your love of the lifeboat world, of course, Marzell had that tremendous disaster with their own lifeboat.
Marzell had the disaster with the Penley lifeboat, which actually was housed, its lifeboat house was at Marzell in them days, and it was launched to the Union Star on the 19th of December, I think, 1983, and 8 lives were lost off the lifeboat, and 8 lives were lost off the Union Star. And I know all about that. It was probably the longest 24 hours of my life, as my Uncle Henry was launched on the Lizard lifeboat as mechanic to go and search for what remained of the Penley lifeboat.
Yeah.
And to get a phone call from my auntie at just gone 8 o'clock in the morning to say that good news, it wasn't the Lizard boat that had gone down, but they was out 24 hours, and Uncle Henry has spent all his life at sea, and he's never, ever been out in conditions like that.
I was working for a company that sold aerial photographs, where the plane flies low over your house, takes a picture of your house, and actually then it's the job of the guys on the road, me, to knock on the doors of that house and say, we'd like to buy this picture, and spent a fortnight down in Marzell. It's a lovely place with lovely people, and I hope the football club has great success.
They're going in the same direction as what's that. So what I'm really trying to say, it's happening all over the country.
Well, as you know, with your great sort of history with Newark Flowserve and previously Worthington Simpson and all the rest of it, Newark football has been waiting the third of a century I've been involved in sport in Newark, waiting for somebody with a bag of money to come and make it possible. And now Flowserve have got the wonderfully nicknamed Santa, who's bestowing his presence upon a football club in Newark. And what is happening at Flowserve is just fantasy.
We're going to talk tomorrow night, just as a bit of a preview for tomorrow night, folks. Gareth Bagley's coming in, and I've got some interviews I did on the opening night of the new sports village. James, have you been to the sports village yet?
I've not actually, unfortunately, had the chance to go down, but it looks fantastic
you
from what I've seen.
Pop down. This is just stage one. It's just something. It's going to be something very, very special.
I've been here in Newark since 1986, and I was sat in the dugout last night watching Flowserve first team and reserves training, sat in the dugout with fantastic floodlit facilities around me, and I was pinching myself, thinking, you know, I've been writing about this for 25 years in the local paper, the Advertiser, and suddenly it's actually happened, and it seems to have happened in a sort of wave of a magic wand, doesn't it? I mean, I know there's a heck of a lot of work gone in, but as Mick said at the start of the week, and then you look, obviously not at night time, but you imagine over the road, you've got the facilities that flow serve. It's just, we said last night, it's like London buses. You wait years, and then suddenly three things come at once.
And they certainly have done. Right, a lot more to come about Long Bennington. But first of all, let's have a few more headlines, one of which is bound to get my guest talking. Josh Butler and Sam Curran led England out of trouble into a promising position on day one of the second test against Sri Lanka. And as the tourists fell to 89 for 4 before recovering to 285 all out. And Jack Leach then bowled opener silver for 6 as the home side reached 26 for 1 at the close. Here we go then. Susanna Downing has been named as the new chief executive of the Premier League, replacing Richard Scudamore. Downing joins from media organisation Discovery, where she was global president of the Animal Channel. She's now in charge of Premiership footballers. All 20 Premier League clubs have been asked to contribute £250,000 so that Richard Scudamore can be given a £5 million farewell gift. Opinions coming up.
This is Radio
New
Sport.
We're nice here, so before Tony goes into a tirade about all this, first go at it to our guests.
£5 million bonus. Well, that could be donated back into grassroots football. That would probably pay for 10 of those, of 3G AstroTurf pitches, exactly. I would suggest. And that would serve football a damn sight better than it being in Mr. Scudamore's back pocket. I'm sure he might disagree with that, but...
I will say, in the interest of fairness, because I've been keeping tabs on this all day... I'll put the mic up, it works better. Mr. Scudamore has never asked for it. He's embarrassed, but he hasn't said I'm not having it. But he's embarrassed. James, the Premier League is a million miles away from what you do, isn't it? And despite yep. all that they say, they're not on the same planet.
No, they're not. Where they are on the same planet is that those players would have started where our junior footballers are today. But what's really sad is that we don't seem as an organisation, the FA don't seem to be able to plough enough money back into grassroots football to enable us, whether it's Long Bennington, whether it's Flow Serve or whomever, doesn't give them enough money to really be able to develop the facilities that they have. We're fortunate at Long Bennington that we have fantastic facilities in terms of the grass pitches that we have there. But that comes at a cost. It doesn't come for free. So we have to maintain those pitches. They had to be put in the state that they're in now in terms of drainage and what have you. That had to be done to able to us to have those facilities that we've got. Ultimately, like FlowServe and the new sports hub in Newark, we would love to have a 3G AstroTurf pitch with floodlights. And I think that the longevity of having something like that and what that will give the kids, and not just the kids, but the kids and the adults of Long Bennington, it will stand the club and the village and football in general in great stead.
Apparently, if you go to Belgium, Holland, almost every village has got a 3G floodlit playing area. Here, it's one village in every 100 miles almost. But come on then, your turn.
I went to Amsterdam for a long weekend with Lucy many years ago, heck of a lot of years ago, before the children were born. And so we're talking 30 plus years ago, and we got off the boat, got on a train, and the train from the harbour to Amsterdam, every 10 yards you passed a ground with a superb pitch that also had a big stand on it Each ground had seating facilities. Absolutely wonderful. Scudamore, disgraceful. I mean, he must have got paid stacks while he was doing that job. So they give him a £5 million payoff. I just wonder what the lifeboat families in Mousel got in compensation for their losses.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
That puts it in perspective.
It's totally wrong. But to finish off on this, the bit I like best, the person that they're putting in charge used to be in charge of the Animal Planet.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant.
Well, you can see how she got the job.
Absolutely brilliant. Let's go back to young Nathan, because this is where football should be talked about, because these lads are the future of football. One thing you've won already, Nathan, is the best tops, the best training tops. I think the Bennington tops are wonderfully smart. They really are. They're just spot on. Always ask the youngsters what football team they support, and they're not allowed to say Manchester United.
Southampton Football Club.
Really?
Now, that's a... Okay, I'm beat. Why?
Because my dad was born near Southampton, and when I was born, he always supported Southampton, and so I just followed his path and supported them as well.
That's worse than giving you cigarettes.
Nathan Oldbury, you are my new favourite, because fantastic. Support the team your dad supported, or support your local team. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
Don't jump on a bandwagon.
No.
Support your... okay, you're going to tell me about Barry.
No, that's why I'm delighted my dad always supported Real Madrid.
Southampton. Have you been to see Southampton play? Has dad took you back down there to see him play?
Yes, he has.
Good, and can you remember the score, or did they win, or... Well, they wouldn't have won, but...
My first game was against West Brom. It was 4 or 5 years ago. We won 1-0, and I said I was really cold, and I wanted a Southampton hoodie from the shop. And my dad said I could get it only if we win 1-0 and Adam Lallana scored, and it happened.
And? Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, Nathan, did dad keep to his word?
Yes, he did.
Well done, dad.
Yeah. Well done. I conned out of that one somehow.
Well, it probably won't be the first or the last time, would it?
No, very true.
Do you want to be a footballer?
I think I would probably like to be a footballer, but I don't know if it will happen, but it could.
So you are, what, 10 now, or are you 11 yet?
I'm 9.
You're 9? Only 9? And you? Oh, crikey. You're a big 9-year-old, aren't you? I'd tell you what, Tony said this time and time again, but 9 years old, this young man speaks brilliantly. He really does speak brilliantly. Well done, young sir. We'll come back to you again in a couple of minutes. Dad, have you outgrown Queen Elizabeth II playing field then?
I don't know whether we've outgrown the playing field, but I certainly think that there is scope for additional facilities to be put in there. We're quite fortunate that when the playing fields were redeveloped originally, when they were renamed as Queen Elizabeth Playing Fields, we have the MSF, which is the multi-sports surface, which has the tennis courts, and we've also got the mugger there, which are both floodlit, so that enables us to have keeping the training within the village during the winter months. But it's the old sand-based AstroTurf, so it's not very forgiving on the ankles and the knees, and so we would certainly like to be able to aspire to have something like a 3G AstroTurf pitch, and I think that's where our future vision as a club, that's probably what we're aspiring to do. But to do that would cost an awful lot of money. So yeah, if Mr. Scudamore has any spare of his, please send it our way. But there are other things as well that we're looking to try and do. You'd have seen from when you came down to see the under-18s game that we get a great following from home and away supporters that come to see their kids play and the teams play. But what we can't offer them is a cuppa. So we don't have a cafe facility at the club, and that's really our next sort of mini project, as it were, is to try and get something on site that we can give match day teas and coffees and snacks to supporters, coaches, whoever comes down to watch the games. We're in the process of doing a Aviva Community Fund, which is something that Aviva do to enable sporting clubs, scouts, guides, other sort of local clubs can apply for a fund through their Aviva Fund initiative, and we've entered into the £10,000 category because we think it's going to be about £8,000 for us to be able to produce the cafe that we want, which will be a freestanding like a container unit effectively, but timber clad, that's open about another week's worth of voting on the Aviva Fund, and we're up to about 1,300-1,400 votes already, which is fantastic. And then once that voting finishes, it goes through to a panel. The more votes that we get, the better chance we've got of getting through to the finals and hopefully getting some money to put towards it. If we don't get all of the grant, some of the grant will be great, and we'll do other things like mad things like running marathons, which some people have done before, and I've done 5 marathons. Oh, right. So I've retired from doing marathons now. The last one nearly did me in, but we're really good in terms of the parents get behind the club, so there's lots of fundraising activity. Obviously the parents pay in annual subs, which helps subsidise the use of the pitches, referees and what have you, and the training, but yeah, it costs an awful lot of money to run junior football. It costs a lot of money to run any football.
Nobody seems to be throwing it at you, do they? It is a battle to get anything. Well, the under-18s are sitting very nicely at the top of the Notts.
They are indeed.
Youth League, in a decent standard of football.
Very good.
Playing some good teams. Mm. We've heard about the under-10s. What's the rest of the Bennington teams doing?
So we are spread between, majority of the teams play in the YEL. So the new Newark Youth League, as you'll probably be aware, unfortunately disbanded a couple of seasons ago now. But Newark has a great wealth of football around. So majority of the teams have gone into the YEL, either playing in the Newark section of the YEL on a Saturday, or into the main YEL, so going a bit further afield. We have 2 teams, I believe, in the Midlinks League on a Sunday. We've got certainly an under-15s team that are in the Midlinks League, and then the girls teams are also in the, I think, in the Sunday girls league there as well. The Vets play in the East Midlands Veterans League, and the walking football are in their respective league as well. The ladies team aren't in a league, but they play various friendlies throughout the course of the season and our training. So,
and you're obviously under-10s manager then, are you?
Yeah, myself and another chap, Pete Johnson, who runs the under-10s with me, and again, like the rest of the teams within the club, it's made up of volunteers that give up their time free of charge to really give the kids of Bennington and the surrounding areas a nice platform to play football from, and to learn about football and go forward from there.
A bit of a double question here, Nathan. Is it nice to have Dad as a manager, or would you rather have Dad as just a supporter? And because Dad's manager, are you the first one that gets substituted or gets shouted at more than anybody else? You tell me.
It is good to have him as a manager. I do get shouted at a bit more than other people. But it is good to have him as a manager because he gives me support all the time and helps me.
Same question to Dad then. Is it difficult when your son plays for a team that you're managing?
Yes, very difficult. It's I was fortunate enough last year that Nathan played Sunday football as well, and not for a Bennington team, so I was actually able to go to games and be a spectator, which was great. But it is difficult, I think, when you manage your own child in a whether it's a football team or any activity, when you're managing them, it's difficult because they tend to gravitate towards you for advice, whereas you might not want them to. They might maybe want to go to the other coach. It's slightly worse as well if I'm refereeing a game, because they'll look for advice there and then, but I can't because I'm reffing. But no, on the whole, he's a good kid, and in fact, all the kids that we've got, certainly at the under-10s, and I'm sure the other coaches at Bennington will say the same for their players as well, a great bunch of enthusiastic kids of varying degrees of ability and enthusiasm.
He's coming over as a wonderful young man.
Well, when I was 8 at school in Bradford, just for one term, fortunately, but my mum taught me out of a class of 40. And it was living hell for both of us. it was awful because I tried to get away with everything, and she was just, you know, just a complete loss as to how to approach it. It was very, very daft thing for the headmaster to do. I don't know if it was avoidable, but you know, it was a term that neither of us would want to repeat.
She even caught you taking the slate home, didn't she? Are you going to see him through? Are you going to?
Yeah,
this is how it works in junior football, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that would be the plan, is that we started as an under sixes team, just training, and then moved into our first competitive, non-competitive football, but structured, organised football at under sevens. And yeah, the plan would be that we would see it through to what you saw last week, up to the under 18s in the Notts Youth League.
And then you can retire.
And then I can retire. Yeah.
You can run the tea shop.
Yes, I can run the tea shop. Very true.
Right, a question, Mr. Yes. Smith. I'll let you think about it during the ad break. What does Jess Weaver, Amy Hunt, Libby Johnson, Megan Williams, Ed Howlett, Joseph Monk and Amelia Crispin all got in common? And the answer to the question just before lunch, what has Jess Weaver, Amy Hunt, Libby Johnson, Megan Williams, Ed Howlett, Joseph Monk and Amelia Crispin all got in common?
They were all put on the road to stardom by their appearances on Radio Newark.
18 months ago, we told everybody to keep their eyes open for a young goalkeeper that I saw at the primary school's autumn and spring tournaments and then a game at the major primary school's cup final. We said, watch out for this lad. He's got a hell of a future in football and he could go an awful, awful long way because he was that good. Time for Mother to talk to us now. So welcome to Heidi Price to Radio No Sport. Mother, good evening.
Hello.
Heidi, now, I've only found out this news today and I've not told anybody in Newark yet. I'm going to leave it to you. Your news is?
Harley has been signed for Derby County, goalkeeping. He's done an 8-week trial. Very impressed with him and they've offered him a place this week.
Absolutely fantastic. I saw him playing for Chucherida and he'd got that something special. I last saw it with Gary Atwood in this town. He'd got something special and we knew then it was going to go on all the way. You must be so proud.
Yeah, very proud of him. Obviously, he hasn't been doing goalkeeping for long. He did it for the school. And then he had one season with Collingham on a Sunday doing goalkeeping. And then a scout from had a look at him and called me over and said he'd like him to come for a trial at Derby. So, and that's where we are.
I think you're going to get used to going to Derby now, aren't you?
Yeah, we've had while he was having the trials, we had a couple of other clubs that were interested in him and they kept in contact with me every week to see how he was getting on. And obviously, they are disappointed that Derby has signed him because they actually wanted him as well. So, but it's a big decision for Harley and he's fitted in really, really well. So, we'll just see how he goes and see what happens.
He's a wonderful young man, and he always remembers his trip into Radio Newark Sport. Every time I see him, we say hello. Please, on behalf of Tony and me and everybody at Radio Newark Sport, wish him all the best. We're all so proud of him. We think we told everybody in Newark about him because, well, we did. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But Mum and Dad and He's quite a shy young man, isn't he?
Yeah, very shy. Very shy. That's why me and his dad are so proud of him as well, because, you know, it's all new to him, new teammates. He's had to let his other team down, which he absolutely hated at first. But it's an opportunity, and it's one that he had to go for. So, but he's enjoying it. It's hard work, but he's enjoying it. So,
them opportunities don't come along very often. And
no.
Get in there and enjoy. Hardy, keep us up to date, and we can tell the rest of Newark. You very kindly sent me a photo of him. I'm going to put that on our social media pages when I get home tonight, explaining what it's about, and giving him our best wishes. But keep us up to date, and I'm absolutely convinced he's a star. He's going to be a star of the future, without a shadow of doubt.
I hope so.
I'm sure he is. Heidi, thank you for taking time out to talk to us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
Bye. Fantastic news there from a wonderful young man, Harley Price. And James, when that happens to anybody at Bennington or any youngster, you just have to say, go ahead.
You do.
Make the best of it. And when you're a superstar, remember where you started.
Yeah. I think from any coach's point of view, that if any player that you've had lucky enough to have and coach them, if they get seen and taken on by a professional club, even if it's into a development centre before they go on to academy forms, I think all coaches are proud of that, because you've had some part to play in that formative years of them becoming footballers and progressing and getting better. So, definitely. Definitely take it with both hands if you get the opportunity, and enjoy it, and that is the key at this age, is to enjoy it.
And when I go out and about and people say to me, oh, you're always banging on about primary school sports, Harley Price came out of primary school sports. That's what made him the goalkeeper he is. That's why primary school sport is so important.
I'm quite proud to be sitting here, because this is a very special moment in the history of Radio Newark, because it's the first time that Derby County has ever come out with a positive thing.
Yes, true, there is that to it, yes.
Definitely a first.
It's definitely a first. Well, I mean, they've got a fantastic youth set up at Derby County, and then you could always get transferred to a proper club. Now yeah. Back on the low.
Yeah.
I mean,
back to county.
You see, I mean, it's like me and you saying our good Portsmouth are, isn't it, in the cup we've got tonight.
There's no need to swear.
There you go, you see, we're in trouble already. Look at Nathan's face, that tells it all. But, yeah, I mean, that is what it's... That's what you do it for, isn't it? To make them, either at primary school sports or on a Saturday morning, if you can make them better footballers, because in my world, it's not about if Nathan wins on Saturday or not. It's about if Nathan is a better footballer by the end of Saturday or not.
Yeah, it's about the development of the players and their enjoyment of the game of football, and that is paramount. I think they've got to enjoy it. Not everyone's going to have the opportunities to get anywhere near becoming a professional footballer. It's the chances are minute. But what you want to do is you want to be able to give players of all abilities the facilities and for them to be able to express themselves on a football pitch and to enjoy it. And if they should be fortunate enough that they are talented enough and have the willpower to take it further forward, that's what you want to be able to do for them, definitely.
Let's get back to your Aviva money, hopefully, that's going to come through to get me a cup of tea next time I arrive.
Exactly.
There. A week to go, you say. How do people support Long Bennington?
So, Aviva have a specific website, which is the Aviva Community Fund website, which I think is avivacommunityfund.co.uk. Once you get onto the website, you're able to search by area, so you can type in Newark or you can type in Long Bennington and you will see our bid on there. All you have to do is spend probably about 2 minutes registering. Once you register, they're not going to inundate you with things to do with insurance, because there's a little disclaimer you can tick so you don't want anything coming through. Once you've registered, you can give 10 votes effectively towards the project. So you can either give all 10 to Long Bennington, which would be fantastic, or you can split it between other campaigns that are out there. I think for our area, there is probably only us close enough football-wise. There are other community fund bids out there for other things, but certainly for football, it is just ours. So if there are anybody that's listening out there that wants to log on and give us some votes, that would be fantastic. And if you're supporters or players from other teams that want to do it, please do it, because it will benefit you as well, because it'll be you that will come to watch your teams play and be able to get a cuppa and a Mars bar or a
I think
burger.
You're almost leading the way in the revival of village sport.
Yeah, I think so. You have to have people, volunteers, whether it's myself or any of the other coaches or committee members at Long Bennington. You have to have people that are enthusiastic about the game and that want it to develop and to be part of the community. And it is a real community thing, football, and it's the same whether it's like Long Bennington or any of the other Newark-based teams. There's a real community feel about it, and social media helps, local radio like yourselves talking about local sport is fantastic, and I think we should enthuse more about it and really try and get more people involved, more people supporting, and not supporting just in the way of turning up and watching the games, which is equally as important, but supporting in terms of financially. So whether it's local businesses that will sponsor training tops or shirts, or putting their name to some advertising hoardings, whatever it might be, I think it just needs to be done more and be spoken about more, really. Yeah.
The under-18s have got a day out on Saturday. They're going to Chesterfield.
I believe they are,
to play.
Yeah.
Farndon are at Laddham and Newark Coast, West Brishford. And where are the under-10s playing on Saturday, Nathan? You have to look at Dad.
We're playing near the school Newark Academy against Ninja Warriors.
Oh, right. Is that a morning kickoff, is it?
So 11 o'clock kickoff at Newark Academy against Ninja Warriors.
And the Warriors are always a decent setup.
Yeah, very good setup again.
I think you're probably in for a decent game.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
Excellent stuff. And we'll let you know next Tuesday how Nathan's team got on, and we'll also let you know how that battle of the top of the Notts Youth League under 18s division is progressing, because it's tight at the top, isn't it?
It's tight, really good league, very competitive league, and again, the Newark based teams are at the forefront of that. So I think football in Newark and surrounds is incredibly strong. Yeah,
we're on a high. James and Nathan, thank you very much for coming in. It's been great fun finding out all about Long Bennington Football Club tonight, and now we've got to know you. You can come back and see us again sometime and keep us updated if I'm going to get a cup of tea or not next time.
Definitely.
I arrive there.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
Most important thing. Tomorrow night we're talking the Sports Village. We've got Gareth Bagley coming in, and I've got some interviews to play you from the great and the good that I spoke to at the opening ceremony on Tuesday night. So that's what we've got tomorrow night, Tony. So we can look forward to that, because you've been there. You know what it's like. Credit where credit's due. A cracking facility. Coming up next, it's the 60s show with Doug Hall, who last night did the blues show expertly, and on Sunday he's doing the Motown show. This man is a music genius, an absolute music genius. You've got to listen to him. The knowledge is fantastic. The wonderful Mr. Doug Hall.